Trinity Bible is just a few minutes we have here tonight. I thought I would share the pulpit with some of the youth. You know, they need to talk and share what's on their heart, but somehow they were restraining themselves tonight. And Luke, I thought he would be running around a little bit more. But how many people know that God provides? He provides all things. I've been talking to a lot of people in this time of COVID-19, all the stuff that's happening during this time, this pandemic, this restraining time with church and different things. You know, the church has been held back in so many ways, and there's the encroaching of the world and the laws that are being twisted towards holding the church back in different things, that we cannot preach a certain way, you cannot say certain things in church because they can shut you down on television. They could stop you if you preach, the gospel in a certain way, because of certain laws and because of certain groups that lobby against certain beliefs and rights and so on. And I've been reading on different areas how people, you know, are coming against the church. There's a spirit of Antichrist working at against the things of God, the things of Jesus, the things of the Bible, the New Testament. And there's a great work against the church with different institutions and different laws that have been enacted and so on. And I've heard laws that are being lobbied behind the scenes that are going to try to restrain the church, with my sources that I hear that they're doing things to handcuff the church so that we can't change preach the gospel the way we should. And so we need to stand strong. We need to pray. We need to do certain things that's going to cause us to be strong. And there's nothing that can stop us. There's no power in this world can stop the gospel. There's nothing can restrain the gospel. The gospel is going to go out regardless of what happens. And so we might have some clashes and different things like that, but this COVID-19, somebody said, I heard Pastor Higgins say one time, you know, the devil can never stop you. He'll try to slow you down. He'll slow you down a little bit, but he can't stop you. And so I believe that, you know, they're trying to do different things to stop us preaching the gospel. But God is a supernatural God, and he can do certain things beyond what you and I can imagine. And God's going to visit people. The Bible says that in the last days that he said, I'll visit people. I'll visit the people who've never even asked for me. And so he'll do that. And so if you're afraid of what's happening, don't be afraid, because that's exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you to be afraid of things, that there's no way we could do stuff. But the gospel will never be restrained. We cannot be restrained. And, I was reading the first five chapters of the book of Acts the other day. And so Jesus told the disciples to, in the first chapter, in verse 4, wait till the promise of my Father, which I told you of before. I'm speaking of the old prophets, and he's quoting the old prophets. He says, wait for the promise of my Father, which I told you before, verses 4 and 5. Which I told you, and the disciples was there, and when he left, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, and to Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to all the world. And that's still in effect today. And so the Bible says that they were filled with the Spirit. We see in chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had a meeting that because Judas had died and he hung himself, and they were saying, we needed one more guy to fulfill this. So they picked one guy by the name of, I believe it's Matthias, and they choose him to be one of the 12 apostles, because these original 12 apostles were very, very specific. They were people who were with Jesus from the time he started his ministry. And they saw his ministry, they knew about him, they were with him all during that time until he was caught up and he went to heaven. And so they picked this man, and so they were filled with the Spirit in chapter 2. And people came around and they were wondering what was going on. They said, these guys are drunk. They're full of new wine. They said, they're not drunk with new wine. You know, they were acting drunk. And how many people know when you're filled with the Spirit, you act drunk? In fact, you don't even care what you look like when you're drunk. And they were laughing and crying and dancing. You know, some of you guys need to get a good drunk once in a while. You need a drink. And it'll help you. It'll change you. It'll do something in your life. And it'll really do something. You know, I thank God we could do that by faith. And I had an encounter with the Lord. It changed me. It changed my life forever. And I was looking at the scripture. You know, there's a, Sandra Monroe's brother died a couple weeks ago. This young man, name is Brian Beardy. He came to church. He came to school. I was in college. And he brought the gospel to me. And he spoke to me about Jesus, and he said, alcoholism is a sin according to the Word of God. And he said, we were arguing, I said, it's a disease. He said, no, it's a sin, but, you know, it's kind of the same, but yes, it is a sin. Anything that's not of God is a sin, but it's also a social disease. It's a mental disease. It's also that as well, so it's not just one or the other. It's both affects the spirit and the natural part of our lives. And so we kind of had an argument. It's like the chicken or the egg argument. We were both right on our deal, but he brought Jesus to me, and I made fun of him throughout all that time, and now he passed away a couple weeks ago, I guess it was. And his dad came to my house later on. His dad brought the gospel to my father on Red River Road. He came to my father's house, and he opened the Bible to Joel chapter 2. And as he opened Joel chapter 2, he started reading, and the power of God fell upon us as we were there. And my dad was touched by the Spirit of God, and he went on his knees and gave himself to Jesus. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit and went into tongues and began to preach. I couldn't contain myself, and had such an encounter with Jesus. And there was different things like that happened over the years, and had visitations by God that would change my life forever. And it was just not just one little feeling; it was just a tremendous outpouring of Holy Spirit was between me and the Lord. There's times I've had those experiences with my own self, and I would have never become a pastor except for those experiences. You know, God will touch you for a reason. And if you're hungry for God, He'll touch you. But if you're just casual about it and you just want to say, oh, you know, I might have that, you know, no, you'll never be touched by God that way. You got to get hungry before God. You got to want God to change you. To change your life, God's not going to come and impose Himself on you. You're going to have to want Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry. If you're not hungry for God, you're sick spiritually. You're sick. And so we need to get hungry for God. We need to want to pray and talk to God. And we want to hear from God. We want God to move in our lives. And so as I read the book of Acts, I saw the supernatural ability of God. And how God moves in a life and how He changed lives. And so they, Peter and John, in the third chapter, they were going up to the temple to pray about the hour of 3. And there was a man that laid there for 40 years. He was sick. He couldn't walk. He never walked in his life. And Peter and John came by there. And the man was begging for money. And Peter and John says, I don't have any money, but such as I give unto you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They didn't pray for him. They commanded him to walk in the name of Jesus. You never seen the Bible where they actually prayed for someone. They commanded people in the name of Jesus. They knew Jesus. They commanded Jesus. And, very few times you see them. They commanded things to happen, and they happened. And so in these days, we think prayer is the answer for everything. It is in part. But prayer doesn't work beyond the knowledge of the Scripture. Jesus taught His disciples well, taught them about the name of Jesus. And so there was an encounter with God in the temple where this man was suddenly, he was sitting there. Next thing, he's jumped up. He never walked. That is a supernatural power of God and demonstration. And so that's what we need in these last days, a demonstration of the power of God. So lives will be changed. And so this man's life was changed. And we are still talking about it today. And so this man, the Bible said his feet and ankles begin to get strong and immediately. Well, you don't get strong immediately if you haven't walked a day in your life. And so this man got up and he was he got healed, and he was dancing and laughing and, you know, great joy. And so they hauled those guys into prison and told them, put them in prison. So what power by name have you done this thing? And they put them in prison. They locked them in the prison, and they're going to keep them there overnight. But the Bible says an angel came by and led them out of the prison. And they were out there, went out there and preached again. Chapter 4, and here they are preaching the gospel. And they said, let's go, we're going to bring the prisoners out. So they went to the prison. They went to the prison there, and they found they weren't there. And they found that the guards were still there. But the prisoners were gone. So how did you guys get out? Well, an angel came in and took them out. And without anybody knowing. And so the angel said, go preach the gospel. Go back to where you were. So they went right back where they were preaching before. And they began to preach the gospel. And so they were preaching the gospel. And they hauled them back out again. He said, we told you to never teach and preach in the name of Jesus again. And you know, Peter says, who do we supposed to listen to, you or God? We'd rather listen to God, and we're going to preach the gospel. We can't hold back what we know, and we're going to teach what we know. And so the Bible says these people said they were going to kill them. They're going to kill Peter and John in the fourth chapter. And so there's a man by the name of Gamaliel. He was a man of great learning in the Jewish doctrine, in the Jewish affairs, and Jewish religion. And he says, listen, guys, don't kill these guys. You better think about what you're doing, because if this is be of God, you cannot stop it. I said, if it be of God, you cannot stop it. And so they tried everything they could do to stop him twice already. And the third time, they says, we're going to kill them. Now we'll just kill them. And God put a stop to that pretty quickly. And Gamaliel spoke on their behalf and said, we know a man by the name of Thaddeus. Thaddeus, he said he had 500 followers, and he went preaching, and 500 people follow him, and he's no longer here with us. And they thought he was a man of God or something, but he disappeared. And there was another guy that raised up, and he had 400 followers or something like that, and he raised up, and he came to nothing. But with these guys, you don't know if it's God or not. This guy, they said they had done a notable miracle, and we cannot stop it. We cannot deny it. But he said, if you try to stop these guys, you might be fighting against God. And so I want to tell you something. When something is of God, you cannot stop it. You cannot stop it. The Bible says, the scriptures, you cannot restrain God. You cannot put God in the place and say you cannot operate here. Well, God is going to move beyond the borders of what we understand. God doesn't have to move in the restrictions that you think he should move. God's going to move beyond that. And the Bible says, so if you read your Bible, you're going to know certain things, that he will move in such a fashion. But God is a supernatural, miracle God. He can move. The scripture says over here that God is a provider. He'll provide you safety. He'll provide protection for you. He'll provide you health. And he'll also provide you wealth. Whatever provisions you need. So in this time, you know, in the famine, time of famine, the Bible says that God will keep you alive. And in terms of famine, people died in famine. You'll see that in the Bible, that people died. Many people die in famine. And many people die in pestilence. The scripture talks about pestilence or plagues. When plagues come, that many people die. Just like right now, we're living in biblical times right now. This is not, just life itself. This is Bible times. Right now, we're living in last days, the end of the last days, and Jesus is about to return. Things are going to happen really fast. Hallelujah. And people are sleeping. Church is sleeping. Some people in church are sleeping. But things are happening. They're going to happen without you, whether or not you believe it or not. Things are going to happen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe in, because it's going to happen anyway. Things are going to happen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the scripture talks about in there in Psalm 23, and it says here, that God is your provider, and he'll give you what you need. Look at Psalm 23 in verse 1, the Amplified Classical Edition. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. What about that shepherd? Well, he'll feed, he'll guide, and he'll shield you. In other words, he'll provide everything you need to sustain life in your life and yourself. He'll guide you. Just like the Hussies, they said, you know that God has led them. He said, it's better to be in the will of God. That's what Mrs. Hussey says. It's better to be in the will of God. That's the safest place you'll find yourself, is to be in the exact will of God. Brother Hagin told us a number of times he had a heart attack. He had an injury that was a really bad injury. While he's preaching, he fell off. While he was preaching, he fell down, you know, in the church. Another time, he had a heart attack in a service while he was in church preaching for the full gospel businessman. And the Bible says that he had a hard time. And the Lord told him, the reason why you had a heart attack and the reason why you fell down and hurt your arm, because you were out of my will. I mean, he's in church. And so we need to get ourselves in the will of God. When I go to bed at night, I always ask myself, am I doing what God wants me to do? There's a lot of things I could do. You understand that? There's a lot of things I could do. I have a lot of opportunities. Still, I can still go and get a job if I want to. I've got accreditations. I can do a lot of things. I could teach at a university if I want. I could go teach at the college if I want. I could work for the government if I want. I could work for my band if I want to. I can make my own consultation company and start traveling if I want to. There's so many things I can do. I'm not restricted just to preach. I'm not preaching for money. God called me to preach. He told me to do the ministry and to start the work of God. And so I could have done so many other things in my life. So, but we decided what we're going to do. We stay here. Doesn't mean we've never had any problems and the devil comes up. He tried to attack you. But you have to stand your ground against the devil. And if you're afraid of the devil, you know, he's always going to pick on you. So you have to rise up and look him in the eye and say, listen, come in here, devil, I want to talk to you. Most people try to run away from him. Now you run to your devil and tell him, listen, you can't, there's no way you can mess around here in my house. Hallelujah. Amen. And tell him, run him right off. Glory to God. So anyway, it's better to be in the will of God. That's what I'm trying to show you here. And that's what I've been telling you for 30 years. Psalm 23:1. The Bible says here, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Say that with some conviction in your stomach. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So what about that shepherd? He said he feeds you. He guides you. He shields you. In other words, he'll protect you. You're afraid of COVID? Well, the Lord said he'll protect you. He'll protect you. And he said, I shall not lack. You're not going to lack for guidance. You're not going to lack for feeding or supplies. You're not going to lack for protection and shelter. God's going to shelter you from COVID and all the stuff that comes along. He said, well, during COVID, you know, you understand this. You know, I was talking to other pastors. I called different ones, you know, once a month we have a meeting in the city.
Hello, I'm back again, guys. So. This is my evangelistic sermon. You know, I'm thinking about evangelism. Hello? You're shutting me down there. Okay, so anyway. Look at Philippians 4:19, Amplified Classical. Did I give you my notes? Anybody back there?
Yeah.
He says in here, God will supply. I'm looking at the Amplified. Let me give you a few scriptures. I'm going to give you a go 10 minutes over tonight. Is that okay? And if you really need to go, you can run out. Okay? Okay, so the Lord, he said, my God, everybody said, my God. Well, how's your God today? Well, my God is very fine. He said, my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Every need. According to how COVID has affected our lives. That's not what it says. It doesn't say it. Now, I was talking about this to other pastors. My pastor said to me from Windsor, you know, he doesn't pastor Windsor anymore, but he's pastoring a lot of us across the country. He said, they seem to me that the churches, all the churches, the reports of the churches, their finances went up during this COVID time. Finances went up. I can tell you from this church anyway, it's gone up. You know, you take a Sunday, how much money comes in, and you know, I believe that God's getting us ready for something. And so people are beginning to give. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. You ask yourself, how much you've been giving? You say, well, I haven't been giving them. I've been giving the same thing. Well, the money's come from somewhere. God's not out robbing banks for us. He's not manufacturing, what do you call that kind of money? Counterfeit money. He's not into counterfeiting. But the money is coming in. I can tell you that God is doing something. Hallelujah. So he says he'll liberally supply. That's what it says. God is not cheap. And if you're cheap, you're not of the God. You're not of the God I know. Amen. And we try to look for places to give money, to unload financially so that God will give us some more. Praise God. Amen. So he says, God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to what's going on around you. You have to understand what the Bible says and believe it, because God is not limited to your job. He's not limited to, where your check is coming from. So that's what he's talking about. Don't limit God. And so a lot of us limit God to our natural ability, our resources, or supplies. You cannot limit God with your natural sources. And so Psalm 62, verse 7, the New Living says, my victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Isn't that wonderful that God can protect you? No matter, the devil can't reach you because you're under the shadow of the Most High God. You're in the shelter of God. Stay in that shelter. It says in Psalm 16, verse 2, the NLT says, I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. So we need to take a stock in that everything you have today, the very breath that you breathe, the very strength that you have, all come from God. All your abilities and every skill you have, they come from God. Nothing that you have originated from yourself. Every cell in your body comes from God. Your eyesight, everything, every muscle in your body, every nerve, every cell, your very breath comes from God. Everything comes from God. So we need to humble ourselves and see this, that God is interested in sustaining us no matter what happens. We shouldn't limit God. Psalm 78, verse 41 says that Israel limited God. So we cannot limit God by the way we think and what situation is going on in this country. There's a story over here in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 14, when David was praying, just before he's departing from this world. He's handing over the reins to his son Solomon, and there was all kinds of stuff happening. One of David's sons was trying to take over, before he was trying to crown himself king, and so they had to, they were making this arrangement for Solomon. Solomon had to be, was the crowned king after that. So there was a big fight going on because somebody wanted to steal. How many people know the devil always trying to steal what belongs to you? And so this man was, the devil was trying to steal from him, put somebody in his place. So David said, wherefore David, the Bible says, 1 Chronicles 29 and 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, and forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty. For that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. That everything comes from God. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. And thou reignest over. For in thine hand is power and might, and thine hand is can make great and to give strength and unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, thy good, thy glorious name. But who am I that all my people that thou should have be able to offer so willingly after this sort? All things come from you, and all is thine. On we have given you. In other words, he's saying there that everything I have comes from you. We can't ever boast that we're giving God something. When you're writing a check, I'm giving God. You're not giving God anything. You're giving God. God's already given you that. You're just a steward of what God's given you. He just says, do this and whatever, obey me and so on. Everything comes from God. he says, you know, you should see his collection of what he had, how much he had. And he gave all this money and so many thousands of pounds of gold and silver and brass and all kinds of gems that he had. And he gave, he said, this comes from God anyway. So he was humble. He was humbling himself before God. And so when we write a check to God, we think, I'm going to write a $400 check here. I'm generous. Well, no, God is generous. He's been generous to you. And so we need to humble ourselves and say that God's done that. He's the one that done it. Amen? Amen. So we need to recognize in these days, we cannot limit God. And I'm going to just give you some homework to do here tonight. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, there was a story there about a certain woman who had these sons, and they were going to be taken over because of debt. You know what debt is? D-E-B-T. Debt. Debt. Not death. Debt. Okay, so now there's a cry. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. In other words, this guy was working for this guy's ministry. He's saying there, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and a creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what you have in your house. And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, go and borrow these vessels abroad, and all thy neighbors, and empty vessels, and borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons thou shalt pour unto all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went in from him and shut the door upon her and her sons and brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and they all stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay the debt, all the debt, and thou shalt live and thy children of the rest. So she had enough to pay the debt, and she had lived on the rest of it. So this, you know, you can't limit God. God's going to come in. If you got debt, you know, if we look to God, God's going to get us out of the debt. And I was reading, I had something come across my desk from Kenneth Copeland. He said, here's four principles how to live free of debt. Free of debt. Don't have any debt. Don't have a car payment. Don't have a house payment. I thank God I don't have a house payment right now. Praise God. I don't have a car payment. I don't have Sears. I don't have a MasterCard. I don't have, well, I got some Visa, but that can be paid this month. Praise God. Well, you know, I try to live debt free. I try to live off everybody else's debt. Try to live off your debt and his debt. And you know, you try to live as debt free as you can. And that's what my wife and I decided a long time ago when we got married. We're not going to live on debt. We're going to pay, we're going to believe God according to what we have. And so that's what we did. Like, I used to get mad at Copeland because he said, you don't have to borrow any money. I don't know. I mean, you have to have a certain faith like that. I'm not going to criticize him, but, but sometimes people go overboard on certain things. I'm not saying Kenneth Copeland did, but he has a certain kind of faith, and all of us can have our own faith. It's according to your faith. So between my wife, that's what we decided to do. And these shoes I have, 20 years ago I bought them. They never run out yet. It's like an Israelite, but they just run out of style. But you can live in famine. Here's in Job chapter 5, verse 20, it says, in famine he shall redeem you from death. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says that the Bible says they were God by faith. They lived in famine, through famine. That's, you know, in famine, people die. And there's drought and there's nothing to live on and so on and so forth. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. How could you be satisfied in days of famine? That's supernatural from God. And I was talking to Pastor Giuseppe yesterday. We're talking. He said to me, we're talking about different things and making arrangements for different things. I said, you know, I'm making arrangements myself. I'm going to be 64, in a couple more months. He said, you don't look like you're 64. Well, thank God. When I was 30, they thought I was 13 still. I mean, that's not fun either. But now I like it now, except my hair has been falling off. So, you can't have everything. I'm going to have to buy a wig. I used to tease Pastor Ken. I've stopped teasing him. I'm repenting every day. I teased him. Amen. He reminded me pretty much very many times already. And so I think he's been praying for that. They tease Elisha. I think it's chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5 or 4 there. They said, go up that bald head. And the Bible says that two she-bears came out and ate up the kids, scratched them all. So I'm not teasing anybody. So, it says in famine, you're going to in war, you'll survive in war. I mean, these are all in the Bible. See, we need to find out what's in the Bible and claim these scriptures for our lives. Yeah. I was telling my brother the other day, I said, when mom was in the hospital, I didn't have the kind of faith that I know now, that I have now. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't have faith the way you have it. When she had cancer a number of times, the first time she had a supernatural ability, the Lord spoke to me. I was in Kenora. He said, go tell your mom she's going to live and will not die. So who am I? I'm just a young man. I'm only in my 20s. I'm not going to tell my mother. She's 59 years old. She's not going to die and live, and she's a strong Catholic woman. I'm not going to run up to her side of the bed and say, look at mommy, you're going to live. I'm thinking about that in my life. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll go and do it. So I left Kenora, went to my mother's bedside and said, Mom, I said, read this Bible. God's going to heal you. Very, very sheepishly. But at least I did it. You know what? She's supposed to have the operation. And she never died. And she lived. Now, that's a supernatural manifestation of God. But how many know the devil will come back where he's been before? You know the devil will come back where he's been in your life before. He'll come and visit you there again for an opportunity to come back and see how, if you give in again this time. So you have to be ready for him the next time. If you've ever been attacked by a certain thing in your life, you have to be ready a second time. That's why I'm telling you to be strong. That's what the Bible tells you, to be strong. And he tries to come around and attack you again with the same stuff. He said, listen, I know who you are. I'm standing in my ground. You go away the same way you came back in. Be strong. And so I was telling her, I said, when our sister was in the hospital, when she had aneurysm, and I didn't know anything about faith. I knew I was a Christian. I knew I was born again. I knew God can heal. I knew all those things, but I didn't know how to appropriate it. I didn't know how to pray out my sister, even if I just didn't know. Like a lot of us right now, we only know what we know. And we're operating on the level of faith that we are right now. And we can't help some of our relatives because we failed to take opportunity to learn what we're supposed to know. I remember Brother Hagin used to say, study all the things you know about faith, healing, and prayer. Study all you can about faith, healing, and prayer. Because someday you're going to need to know how to pray. Someday you're going to need to know how to get a hold of God. Someday you're going to need to know how to use your faith and appropriate it for you and yourself. When can you appropriate your faith for somebody? There's times you can't. But sometimes God allows you to. And so we begin to pray and believe God for certain things. So I begin to see this. The Bible says in Psalm 37:19, they shall not be ashamed in evil time. You'll not be disappointed when tough times come. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. That's supernatural. And I'm thinking about this, in the church here, and we flourish in this famine time. We flourished. And don't say, well, Pastor said we're flourishing. I should hold back a few bucks. No, if you do, you'll flourish yourself. You give double even after this service. I'm giving double because I want to get on this thing. And so we're looking to give people money. I was went out to a pastor not too long ago. My wife and I told, I think it was Jean or one of those ladies that write him a check for $1,000 and go over to this guy's house. He don't deserve it. And in fact, I'm mad at him. The rest of us are mad at him. We'll take that check and bless them. So we took that check and blessed them. They were blessed. I was blessed. And we're looking for other people to bless so that we can be a blessing to them. I said, Lord, who can I give money to this week? I already give Pastor Ken $500. What can I get? So I gave, I said, well, the Lord said, give him $300 more. So I gave him $300 more. Well, he deserved it because he went on top of my roof. So we're looking for people to bless all the time. So we should be thinking about that. Amen? So sometimes we give because God tells us to. Sometimes we give in faith because we need to give. Nobody says amen, but it's true. There's a story about if you can read this at home, 1 Kings 17 and 19 to 16, there's a story there about a lady, you know, she was going to die. The prophet came by and he began to, he ministered to her, and she said, we're going to die. They were in great deal of trouble, but the man of God came and she listened to the man. He says, what do you got? Remember that story about the lady of Zarephath? What do you got? That one time he went over there. The lady said, we got nothing. We're gonna die. They're like, what do you got in your house? We got this and that. Just make me something. Make me a little cake. You want to eat some angel cake. So they said, so he took that from her and they survived. But over here, this one here was according to, it says in here that this cruse of oil didn't fail. That's supernatural. And they lived on it. The one lady paid her debt. And these people lived to tell. Over in the New Testament, it says there that Peter was able to pay his bill. And he was able to pay his income taxes and so on. The IRS and the Canada Revenue was able to be happy during that time. So they was able to pay. He said, go fishing. And the first fish you find, look in his mouth, and you'll find a coin there, pay your debt and my debt, Jesus said to Peter. Isn't that right? And one time, Peter was fishing. Peter was fishing, and they fished all night in the same water, in the same net, the same boat. Jesus said, cast out a little further. He said, but Jesus, we worked all night. We just cleaned up our nets over here. You're telling us to do that? He said, nevertheless, at your word. So they did that, what God said. And the Bible said they encountered all this fish. That's supernatural. So let's not limit God, right? Let's not limit God to what we know. You know what you know, but you don't know all that God can do. He is supernatural. He's miraculous, and he'll help you to do what you need to do in life. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you for this service. We thank you that tonight is going to be a great night one more time. We thank you in the name of Jesus for supernatural ability for every man and woman and child in this room. We thank you that money and strength and power and wisdom and honor is coming to every person in this room. We thank you, Lord God, if there's any hard places they have, that you're going to make it easy for them to go through that situation. Thank you, Lord God. We just want to pray a special prayer for Harriet and all her family, Lord God. The Adlukin family, the brothers and sisters, the aunts, uncles, the children, the grandchildren. We offer a special prayer over them today in the name of Jesus as they've lost Thaddeus this week. In the name of Jesus, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We ask that the power of God, the strength of God be theirs. We pray, Lord God, the grace of God will sustain them during this hard time, and every need they whatever resources they need, we pray that natural resources and supernatural resources will be theirs. We pray for those two boys or three boys that are out there in the name of Jesus. We pray a complete deliverance for those men. We believe in God that they'll come and serve Jesus right there in this house in the name of Jesus. There'll be a turnaround in their lives. We pray for Aaron. In the name of Jesus, for a special prayer for Aaron, as he had encountered certain problems, physical problems, We pray that healing would belong to him. Pray for a young lady, Father God, Yvette, and I pray for strength in her in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we give you praise for that. And the two other young men, we ask your blessing upon them in the name of Jesus, and all the brothers and sisters that are here tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want you to stretch your hand to Harriet and the families over here, and the brother and sister, the sisters right over here. Let's stretch your hand to them in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for a special blessing upon their lives. We ask you to fill her with your strength right now in the name of Jesus. We ask for a special blessing for them. Thank you, Lord. We know that when you lose someone, it's a very difficult time, very difficult time. And so we show compassion to her. The love of God from the church was showing compassion, the compassion of the Lord to them right now. Extend our love to them in the name of Jesus. We praise Harriet. You are the leader of this house, and you stand strong. Show those boys the life of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Reign in Jesus' name. We thank you. Hallelujah. So, Harriet, you let us know what we need to do in the next couple of days. Amen. Praise God. Just send her a greeting, whatever she needs. You know, Thaddeus was a great help for many, many years. And we thank God for what he's given us here. Praise God.